Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning, talking all things Titans. And to help us do that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our buddy Mike Herndon to the program from PaulKuharski.com. Mike, good morning, buddy. How are we doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. We are less than a week away from camp, Mike, and I got to be honest with you. Look, I know that they've just taken two receivers in the fourth round and DK and Io Manor, but I look at this receiving core beyond Ridley, and it scares me to death. Do you share that view? How do you view the receiving core for the Titans heading into this season?
You know, I think I'm a little slightly maybe more bullish on them. I think Tyler Lockett's a long way from what he was at his peak, but I still think he's a professional receiver, a guy that could be a maybe not a good number two, but a passable number two behind Ridley. I think Van Jefferson, again, not a guy that anybody should be excited about. Nobody, you know, that you would expect to break out and put in a huge season, but, you know, he's a professional receiver. He's had good seasons at the NFL level. And I think you're okay with kind of those veterans, but you are going to need to get something. If you want any excitement out of this group, I think you are going to need to find that from Jamira DK and Elik Iomanner. Those are the guys that can produce, that can push this group from, you know, bottom, certainly bottom 10, if not bottom 5 in the NFL among receiver cores, to something a little closer to middle of the pack.
If you had to pick one of those two and hit your wagon to, this is going to be the, you know, the fourth round pick who's like a surprise rookie in this league, who would it be?
Io Manor's my guy. I was big on him on the draft. I thought he should have been a second round pick, frankly. And I just think the size, the kind of explosive movement ability at 6'2", 210 is impressive and eye catching. And then of course you see all the kind of highlight reel catches that he's capable of on his college film. He's the guy that I'm excited about and the guy that I think could greatly outplay his draft position.
Mike, I saw you tweet this yesterday, and it got me thinking about, you know, the worst position room in the NFL. Titans inside linebackers probably going to be pretty hard to top. I mean, you really think about it, it's not great. I mean, there's a lot of hope of Cedric Gray in there that's involved with that, too. What do you make of where they're at? And it, if it's as bad as you think it might be, how big of a limitation is that going to be for this defense?
You know, no offense to any of these guys, but they're all playing, you know, I think a spot or two above where they should be on a good, you know, NFL roster. Cody Barton is a fine linebacker. He's not a guy that should be leading that line. You know, Cedric Gray, James Williams, we have no idea what either of those guys are right now. And one of them is likely going to have to start. Unless you're going into, you know, a surprise David Benda or Anthony Orji, you know, breakout kind of realm. So it is concerning to me, to say the least, that you're basically banking on a starter. And then obviously your top backup is the guy who doesn't emerge out of those two. It could get really ugly real fast. I mean, what happens if Cody Barton, you know, God forbid, tears an Achilles in the second week at training camp? Yeah. I mean, what do you do? That becomes an absolute albatross of a room at that point. But you know, how bad it'll hold him back? You know, I don't know, to be honest. If you're going to have a weak spot in an NFL defense, I think you could find a lot worse spots to have weakness than inside linebacker. You know, the Titans have a few other weeks.
We can go down the list if you want.
Find some.
But I don't know that this group is going to necessarily hold them back from what they want to do. But it might, in combination with some other groups, make this a pretty poor defense this fall, I think.
And that's what I wanted to get your comparison of the concern level here with the concern level at edge.
Yeah, I mean, edge is probably more concerning to me, though I do think they may have more like real NFL players in that room. Like, I think Draymond Jones is without question a real NFL guy. Arden Key, you know, for he is what he is, but he's a real NFL edge rusher. I mean, he's semi-productive. He's not a 10 sack guy, like we know that, but he's going to get on the field. He's going to give you 6 or 7 sacks, and that's acceptable for a kind of really for a third. You know, you'd ideally like him to be a third, but and again, that's another group. Everyone's playing probably a role too high for what you'd want on a good NFL defense. I have a lot more hope in Femi Oladejo, that I think, than Cedric Gray or James Williams, which probably skews my optimism for that room a little bit higher than the inside linebacker group. Although I think it's a much more critical position, and you know that is certainly a bigger problem for this defense if they don't get kind of better than what the roster says they should get, you know, this fall. I think that's a bigger problem at the edge room.
Mike, as we're watching Cam Ward over the next few weeks as we get to the regular season, what are maybe one or two things that you really want to see from him early in the year that would signal to you that, all right, this kid's got a chance and he's headed on the right path here, given the circumstances around him?
Yeah, I just think you want to see a guy who, you know, he's going to make some mistakes. Like, let's not put expectations on him that are unrealistic. There's going to be interceptions. He's going to throw some. But you want to make sure, is the ball moving, I guess, on offense? That's the biggest thing for me is he making plays required to keep the offense moving? And that sounds kind of, I don't know, simplistic, but I almost feel like that really is the measure of a quarterback is, you know, it doesn't, I'm not really worried about stats or completion percentage or anything like that. I don't think that's going to be kind of the, you know, I don't think there's a number that I can tie to it, but if I'm watching the Titans offense, they're moving the ball well. He's making plays that are there and not necessarily putting the ball in harm's way all the time. He's not taking a ton of sacks. Those are kind of the things that I just want to see him do at an early stage. Can you keep this offense on schedule? Can you keep it moving? Can they put up, you know, 20, 25 points a game? You know, that would be what you want to see. Are you making this work with what you've got around you?
Will he be working behind an NFL level offensive line, you think, this year, Mike?
I really do, actually. And as probably the person who was hardest on this Titans offensive line, probably the last 2 years, at least during the off season, I'm very actually bullish on this group. I think Peter Skoronski kind of really figured it out late half of last season, where he kind of became a shutdown pass protector at that left guard spot, over the back, probably 8 or 9 games of last season. You know, right guard, Kevin Zeitler, you know what you're going to get from him. He's a veteran, but he's still playing at a really high level. And then I think, you know, the tackles are the question, which, you know, good Lord, how many times have we said that? but I have a lot more faith that Dan Moore can at least be an adult in the room at left tackle. You know, I don't, again, he's not going to be Trent Williams, but can he be, you know, several, you know, shades brighter than Nicholas Petit-Frere, you know, from a performance standpoint? Yeah, I think he can. And I think the same for J.C. Latham. I think Latham was okay as a rookie in, you know, probably less than ideal circumstances, obviously protecting for Will Levis, who was a notorious sack taker in college and continued that at the NFL level. There's a symbiotic relationship between the quarterback and his protection as far as, you know, sacks go. And I think he'll be in a better spot, flipping back to the right side, being able to play over there, playing next to a veteran like Zeitler, and hopefully not being, you know, necessarily left on an island so much, because the Titans spent so much time last season having to protect against Nicholas Petit-Frere, Jalen Duncan, John Ajukwu, whoever they threw in at that, you know, cursed right tackle spot. They weren't able to give J.C. Latham a whole lot of help on that left side. They kind of just fed him to the wolves. And I think this year with Moore, you have a little bit more of a steady presence on the other side, that if you need to help Latham in pass protection a little bit more, you can do that, and that's an option on the table for you. I've always said you can help one tackle kind of limp along in pass protection, but you can't help both. That just completely shuts down an offense. And I'm hopeful enough that they can patch something together at the tackle spot to be good enough to get along for Cam Ward.
All right, Mike, last thing for you here, a couple of questions for you. Have you pre-ordered your Arch Manning jersey? Is it there yet? And have you bought tickets to the Heisman Trophy ceremony already in New York as well?
So the Arch Manning jersey is in the closet currently.
There we go.
So, no pre-order necessary. Yes, I'm ready to go to New York with my man Arch. I will accompany him, do whatever he needs me to do.
Bodyguard on the security team?
Out. Yeah. Oh yeah, I think so. I'm trying to get in there with some connections here. If he needs just a tall guy to stand next to him, I can do that. But super excited about Arch, obviously. And I think, not to branch off too much into Texas football, I think the thing that's going to make this Texas team good, though, is going to be the defense. I think the defense is going to be special this year, and I think that's going to give Arch a little bit of relief, as he's not going to have to necessarily carry the team.
Feinbaum says best quarterback since Tebow in college football. I'm just saying.
That's what he said.
We'll find out.
I heard he has a great handshake. So, there you go.
That's true. Mike, thank you, brother. Appreciate your time as always. Looking forward to camp getting rolling next week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Mike Herndon, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show from PaulKuharsky.com. We'll react to what Mike had to say, and we will get back into our Titans question of the day. How patient are Titans fans willing to be at this point? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. 102.5, The Game's SEC Media Days coverage, brought to you by Brewhouse South. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Appreciate Mike Herndon for being with us in the last segment. I don't think he's joking. I think he's got the Arch Manning jersey in the closet. He's ready to go. Right around the corner.
Oh, I took that very seriously.
Oh, yeah, so did I.
He's like, dude, I had that one before he committed.
Let me tell you, pre-order not necessary. It is right over here. I've got it right over here.
Yeah. So, interesting stuff on, some positivity there for the offensive line and receiving core.
Yes.
A little less so for – it's a great point. Like, inside linebacker is like, man, they must – really feel good about at least one of those young guys, right? They have to.
You would think. I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. When he threw that out there yesterday and he, Herndon tweeted out, I mean, look around the NFL and tell me how many position rooms are worse than inside linebacker. Really, the first thought I had was, I don't know, maybe edge rusher for the Titans. Like, it's pretty close
and
to
wide
me.
Receiver.
And wide receiver. It's all pretty close. I mean, at least at receiver, there is Ridley. And Lockett, even though he's diminished at this point, like, that he's a solid veteran guy. So at least you've got that. But, like, an edge rusher right now and an inside linebacker for the Titans, it is extremely light. And as he said, like, one significant injury to either one of those rooms, and they are totally screwed. I mean, totally, when it comes to those two position groups on defense.
Yeah. I mean, like receiver, if you ranked all the position groups, this is the reality of the Titans. I think they wouldn't be that far from the top. Right?
Oh, I don't know.
I guess it depends on, like, what do you think of the offensive line? I mean, if you're ranking the corners, are you counting Snead? Then that changes that for sure.
You have to count them.
Yeah. That's probably their top position group, right? I mean, unless you just count, like, Pollard, like, the running back's pretty good.
I like safety, if they're all healthy.
Safety could be all right. Okay, so those are your good ones.
Woods, right?
Yep. So your bad ones, your scary ones, and then obviously your interior defensive linemen. I mean, that should be one of your best groups.
Yeah, that might be the best.
Yeah. But then, inside linebacker, edge, tight end.
Yeah.
I mean,
they got some doozies out there. Yeah, quarterback.
Quarterback room is not good.
We'll see.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's the that, right. I mean,
it all depends on war, but like what's TBD. Behind him is bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think receivers could look okay relative to the other position groups. And then offensive line is
encouraging.
Yeah, I know. I know. But, you know, I think if Mike's right about the offensive line, that's pretty good for the Titans.
I would agree. Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, if he's right about the offensive line and he's right about Elekio Manor, those are two very good developments for the Titans right there.
Yes.
I mean, that would start to lend to, all right, you might be able to see Cam Ward be able to work with something this year if you can get those two things.
Yeah, exactly. So, we'll see. The Dan Moore thing, I think he's one of the most important guys on the roster, the entire roster of this team. Just be solid. Like he said, I mean, they've just been in this cycle of like, which tackle do we more have to help? We have to help them both, but which one is more in need of help against this particular matchup? And if you are worried about both, then you're just – and like he said, I think last year sometimes Latham looked bad because they were forced to make him, like, just suck it up over there. So if you can shore that up, everything looks a lot different. I mean, center is still, you know, big thing too.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big question moving forward with Cushenberry.
So our question of the day for the Titans, it's pretty clear, and this goes back to basically the immediate aftermath, Joe, of them firing Rand Carthon, even before they had hired Mike Borgonzi. You heard Chad Brinker basically start talking about patience and like the approach that it's going to take to really build this football team. And it kind of feels like 2027 when they open the new stadium is what they're aiming for to be really, really good. They've drafted Cam Ward. We'll see what he looks like this year. On the other side of that, there's been a whole lot of losing that's gone on around here lately for the Titans that Titans fans have had to endure. So what are fair expectations for the patience that's required here, and how much patience are Titans fans willing to give as we move forward here? That part of it is going to be really interesting. Had a lot of different thoughts on that earlier in the show. We welcome more of those now at 615-737-1025. But, Joe, where do you come down on all that?
To me, I'm definitely patient this year. I'm definitely just more interested in Cam Ward, obviously, first. But then also, okay, Borgonzi comes in. How do you do with these receivers? How do you do in general, you know, with some of his acquisitions? We had a call earlier about Jaden Daniels in Washington. I think the second biggest development in Washington, other than Jaden Daniels is a dude, and he's going to be a dude for a long time, is that Adam Peters seems like he kind of knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Remember, he was the number two in San Fran, ran number three. Adam Peters cooked last year.
Ran? Legitimately.
Yes. Ran, you know, got to boil the water first. But
food was left on the counter.
That's right. Then you know, you get tryptophan, you take a nap on the plane. So, you know, so I think that this year you're going to get a little bit of a – you're going to get a look of Cam Ward and an idea, but you're also going to get an idea of Borgonzi / Brinker / whatever they're doing over there.
Ziegler.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, all of them. Sure, sure. But
– McKenzie.
Yes, absolutely.
Anybody else over there?
Talk about cooks in a kitchen.
If I missed anybody.
Rand gets sent out, and now, like, there aren't enough stations for all the cooks. But
it's like a Bucky's in here. There's people everywhere just making food.
Oh, my gosh, another chopped brisket sandwich? Do we need that many? But, to me, if I'm patient this year. But you got to be competitive in 26. You have to be. This idea, the NFL is not built for long rebuilds. We did the NHL thing. Apparently, the NHL is built for decade-long rebuilds.
Apparently so.
It's just, hey, let's take a decade and really figure this out, okay? The NFL, you should be allowed two bad years. And if you have more than that, you got serious incompetence. And again, with the Titans, the big concern is the problem is at the very top and can't fire the owner. But there are people here doing these jobs, and bad owners in pro sports find their way to winning still. Gosh, I saw this thing the other day with Marge Schott. You see, I forgot about this.
No.
She was pissed that they swept the A's in 90. First of all, if anybody remembers the 1990 World Series, the A's were supposed to mop the field with the Reds. The Reds swept them.
Yeah.
And she did not pay for the celebration because she lost the Game 5 revenue.
Oh, my gosh.
It's Talk now. There's some ownership issues right there. Okay.
Good gracious! How would I not heard of that?
Yeah. No. I mean, Mart shot, man. They had like the Sports Illustrated cover. And I know now I'm like really doing a great job. Like I'm somehow like comparing Amy to Mart Schott. I'm not doing that. It just came to mind. But like the picture, they were like smoking the cigarette with the smoke, you know. Like anyway, yeah, 2026. Be competitive. That to me, I think should be the reasonable take from a Titans fan.
Matt says, I feel like next year, so 2026, they have to be competing for the playoffs. If not, then it's time to sound the alarm at that point. Yeah, the thing is, that's also going to require, like, if you're doing that, you're seeing what you need to see out of Cam Ward. Some of that has to happen this year where you do what you can next offseason while he's on his rookie deal to surround him with as much talent as you possibly can. Like, that's the name of the game. Like, they absolutely need to be in a spot next offseason, regardless of how this year goes as a team, to draft somebody that can come in and help him. I think you're probably going to see – it's hard for me to believe – unless both these guys they just took in the fourth round are absolute studs, it's hard for me to believe that we're going to walk away from the end of this year and two things are not going to still be a pretty heavy need, and that is edge rusher and wide receiver. Like, you're still going to need those in next year's draft. So some answers coming from that. And also, you know, as you move more into free agency and you're not paying a quarterback an astronomical amount of money, putting more talent around him there.
I totally agree with you. Even like best case scenario, receiver and edge,
you need more
needs. But just imagine if Oladejo and Aya Manor are like, oh, those are guys.
Yeah.
Now you can draft a little bit more best available, and you'd still address that. That's why it's so valuable that you just have to get to the point where you don't have screaming, glaring needs at six different positions,
which right now they have. Titans fans, how patient are you willing to be with this process here, as you've got a new quarterback taking over, a new stadium coming in a couple of years, and also a whole lot of losing that's already taken place? We'll continue to take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Got the Open going on in our studio today on the television.
Yeah, we
Rex
do.
Rex Road is captivated by it. A lot of, frankly, bad golf being played out there right now. A little sloppy.
I'm captivated by the existence of 365 days of no sun. What would that be like?
It's like, wow.
Sounds awful.
It's like 55 degrees and rainy every day.
July 17th.
That's good stuff. There's like a kid out there watching the golf tournament. He's got a beanie on. It's like, it's July, man. It's not like you guys are in the southern hemisphere either. Like, it's summertime. What are we doing?
But looks like an awesome golf tournament so far, though.
Yeah, going well. 615-737-1025. Is our phone number. Michael in Madison on the Titans says, I already see the vision. We're going 9-8 this year. Going to be picking 19th in 2026. Taking Eli Stowers as Cam Ward's new best friend. Solving tight end there. Blue Captain on YouTube says, say the Titans go 5-12 and they hire a new head coach. If that happens, how many years do they get from the fan base then? Too many years of this and you start to look like Lions blue instead of Titans blue. It's from Blue Captain.
See, it's an interesting, yeah. So the thing with that is, of course, you're talking about obviously a franchise that's been there forever, but like the slightest peep of competence with that fan base gets them going crazy. Now they actually have a good stretch. They've had a good stretch going. So, and they came back in droves, you know. But that's the difference between that fan base and this quarter century old fan base.
Yeah. No, it's very different things. There's no doubt about that. One thing that I talked about earlier in the show that I still wonder. It's been so erratic from ownership the last few years where you're handing out contract extensions to general manager and head coach, and then you're firing the general manager less than a year later, and then you're firing the head coach the year after that, and then you're firing the other general manager the year after that. There's been so much of that going on lately that does that – do Titans fans who have lived that and who see that, are they more patient because of that this year? Are they like, you know what? We've been going crazy around here, firing everybody left and right. Let's just maybe accept that there's going to be a rough year this year and there's going to be some growing pains. And hopefully as the year goes on, we see some progress for our quarterback and that there's more patience to endure some of that this year if you're a Titans fan. I wonder if that's the case. But I also do sympathize with the Titans fan, Joe, that's like, go watch what we've had to endure the last couple of years and tell me to sign up for more of that the next 2 years. It's rough. Like, they're in a rough stretch right now. Like, Jeremy on the text line says, I'll consider the Titans successful this year if I can watch a full game instead of deciding that mowing the yard and taking out the trash is a better use of my time.
There you go.
That kind of sums things up.
Yeah, that's well put. Yeah, I mean, it's like the quarterback thing changes it, of course. Like, for example, let's say the Titans did go out and sign Sam Darnold, or whatever. Some of you hate Darnold, I think maybe a little bit excessively. What, name your really like top-of-the-market available free agent QB, like a Baker 1 year or whatever, like that. I'm not saying, I know Baker's had crazy numbers in Tampa. I'm just saying, like, a guy who might be a middle-of-the-pack quarterback, Kirk Cousins type guy. Middle-of-the-pack, good, can win, has won, has produced, and you had that quarterback with – basically the same roster, and maybe, I don't know, I guess in theory less because you're paying him more. What would your, you know, so you'd probably be looking at a bad year, and I advocated for that, by the way, because I just didn't think the quarterbacks in this draft were that good. But you'd be looking at probably a similar bad year, but you also wouldn't have, you'd be like, okay, and then when are we going to go find the QB? At least you have this guy who could be it, right? You have that hope of the unknown, which is always undefeated.
Yeah, and, you know, we went through some of the Titans' history earlier in the show where they've had some of these stretches that have coincided with, you know, drafting a quarterback high in the draft. This is a number one pick, so it's different. And it's also a head coach that just went 3-14, and there it kind of feels like you've got on one hand Chad Brinker and the organization preaching patience, and on the other hand, you're looking at Brian Callahan. I think you're trying to determine exactly where he fits into that. Like, is he a part of that patience? Is he – I'm not going to say just, like, totally off the hook this year, but is there a pretty big amount of grace that's going to be shown his way this year? Or are they looking at it and saying, hey, you better show us something pretty significant with Cam Ward or we're going to get our guy? Like, I have no idea how they view that part of it, but – it's interesting the dynamic as we're talking about fans and patience between how I think the fans view the building of the roster part of this and then the coach part of this. It kind of feels like two different things there from the fan base.
Yep, and it could be, you know, it could end up being like the Bears with constantly, you know, different timelines. Ed says, to me, you don't know about your young QB until year three, so barring a disaster in 25 or 26, I say Callahan should get to 27. Well, you may say that. I don't know if they're going to say that. I tend to lean that way too. You also want to see beyond Cam Ward. Of course, you need to see progress and hope this year, but you want to see an overall better coach football team.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe, and if not, and if he does, if it ends early for him, then I think you have to look at, you know, your coordinator hires as a young coach and say one of them needs to be someone who has skins on the wall in the NFL.
Yes. I think that's even fair criticism after last year of, like, with as bad as it went, would it have made more sense to make a change on one of the sides of the ball? Like, I would have probably gone offense, but would that have made more sense after offseason? We'll see. You know, they've stuck with that, and we'll see if the payoff comes here in year two with a new offensive system or a new offensive roster around them at offensive line, and then certainly the quarterback part of it as well. I just, like, if you're a Titans fan watching all this, I know the long and the short of it is basically just going to come down to Cam Ward this year. Like, if, you know, Mark from Ashton City says, if Cam Ward looks like a guy at quarterback, I'm 100% on board for giving them some time. It's all I want is to have a dude at quarterback. And I feel like most Titans fans probably feel that way. But again, as somebody pointed out earlier, Joe, we're sitting here in July talking about this. We got camp coming up. It's easy to be, you know, excited and think about the patience part of it now. But when November rolls around and you're 2-8 or whatever you are, What does it feel like then? What's it feel like to actually go through it again and have a year that could be like last year?
I think it's way easier if you're 2-8, averaging 25 points a game with some offense and a bad defense, than if you're 2-8 and you're averaging 17 points a game again.
Yep.
And there's just, you know, you're okay on D, you're bad on O. What does it mean? What does it mean for him? Is the, you know, did you start him too early? If you're 2-8 with some offensive capability and competence, I think that's a much easier one to take for everybody. I would think so.
Brian says, I'm fine with being patient as long as there's a little bit of competition there. Last year it seemed like we were rarely in a game and it was over before it started.
Yeah, there were a lot of close losses in there.
There were
some would-be wins that were.
Well, there were also some absolute spankings in there, too.
Yeah, it started out kind of competitive, but as the season went, it felt worse and worse.
Yeah. And they got. I think I have to go back and look at it again, but I want to say they lost by 10 or more points like 6 or 7 times, which in the NFL season is hard to
cover. I think we talked about that at some point. They did. I don't know if they covered any spreads. They were like terrible against the spread. From what I can remember.
Yeah, they were like historically bad against the spread from what I can remember last year. So, yeah, like more competitiveness. You know, this goes to the coaching staff too, but it also goes to your personnel. Like, you know, in the second half, can you hang around in games or do you just totally fall apart, which is for some reason been a theme that stretched across multiple coaching staffs and multiple general managers now of just not being able to get things figured out in the second half. I mean – There's a lot that goes into that in terms of the fan watching experience and how bearable it is.
Yeah, it's like, you know, obviously you have those games early. You could have won both of them. The Green Bay game was embarrassing, and all of a sudden the wheels are off. Then they go win 31-12 at Miami, but that was also – who the heck was quarterback?
Snoop Huntley, the quarterback for the Dolphins.
Close game against the Colts, agonizing loss. Then you get Buffalo and Detroit just to destroy you. Yeah, I mean – there was just
they lost seven games by 10 or more points. I'm redid it. Yep.
The random win at Houston, but then it's like, yeah, down the stretch, you know, it wasn't like blowouts, but it was losses.
A lot of them.
So they come into this season with what, 6 in a row on a six game losing streak?
That is correct.
Got themselves that number one pick at 3-8. When they won that game at Houston, who would have guessed they could get the number one pick? And yet, against all odds,
they
got it done in the month of December.
They sure did it. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more of your Titans thoughts to get to as we wrap up the show. We will do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Dennis says the Titans were competitive last season. They went into the first quarter tied in every game. As that ball was kicked off, they were tied every game.
Very good point, Dennis. He also says, IO Manor's physical traits are eye-catching. We've had a lot of that. All I want to know is he ball-catching?
I hope so.
That's a good point.
I hope so.
We'll see.
By the way, Michael Madison says they were 2-14 with a push against the spread last year, which is the worst of all time. Hard to do.
David in Paris says, "How the fart did you guys find something to talk about with this team? Is admirable." I read that wrong. How the fart you guys find something to talk about this team is admirable. Hats off to both of you. Thank you, David.
You just don't really run across the type of brain power that you get from Rex Road and I on a daily basis very often in the real world. So we're just glad to be able to put that on display for you guys
any
every day.
Any more brain busters?
Yeah.
Farting A, yeah. As I like to say.
It just doesn't get a whole lot more intelligent than this program here, to be frank with you.
We can make chicken salad out of, you know, Titans football.
You guys thought Rand cooked? Listen to this show. That's what we do.
Larry says, cold, by the way.
I just want to see a Titans offense that can score touchdowns after the first drive of the game. That would be nice to, like, spread some of the touchdowns out. You know, maybe, you know, I don't want to go crazy and get to averaging, like, I don't know, 23 points per game, 24. But, like, spread it out a little bit, too. Maybe some in the second half.
Here's a stat I need. 20, 22, 23, 24. How many total second half touchdowns did the Tennessee Titans produce in, you know, 51 games? Because, I mean, that's one of the weird stats about this team that
it's gone.
Again, it's like the whole receiver thing among different front offices and different coaches. Like, it doesn't – it shouldn't be a thing for a franchise. But 3 years of that is really amazing.
It's insane.
So yeah. someone give me that stat.
Yeah, I guess some of that is like the longer your terrible offensive line is out there against the other team, the more opportunity it is for them to just wreck you, I guess. I guess some of it's probably that, but it is wild like how just inept offensively they've been in the second half the last 3 years. It's absolutely crazy. So,
like to the point of the texture, was like, I mean, you can go mow your lawn because it's not only are they going to lose, but like they're not even going to like do anything entertaining.
Yeah, exactly. And look, that makes a difference. I mean, look, it's professional sports, and eventually, if the Titans if they start losing games every week, you know, 35-28, we're going to start whining about them losing games 35-28. So you need to win. Like that's the object of professional sports. But the double whammy of losing and then just having like a nails on the chalkboard offense to sit there and have to ingest every week if you're a Titans fan is just an absolutely brutal combination that we're now 2 years fully deep into.
Right. And this is true of both sides of the ball, but like let's say it's that and like the defense is pretty good. Even with the defense, like how many young guys on this defense do you feel like could be part of a core of the team moving forward? Now maybe that means Gray and or Williams is good. Maybe it means Sweat. Okay, great. Those are good. Brownlee, there's a few.
Oladeja, we'll see. But yeah.
But you know, it's the offense with the young what you hope is the building blocks of a really good offensive line. Still could be. Skronsky and Latham could be building blocks of a really good offensive line in this league at some point. It's possible. And then obviously the quarterback, but even the receiver, they're like it's way more one of the tight ends. It's way more important to me that side of the ball excels or does better. And then I think patience is earned much more.
I mean, if you're a Titans fan out there that is going to the games this year. That's the other thing. We had somebody call in earlier talking about how they're tired of going to games. I think it was Kenny that called in. They're tired of going to games and it being 50% full of the other team. You know, if they're 2-8 again this year, how long does the Cam Ward part of this work in favor of Titans fans? Like Titans fans who the last couple of years when they've been losing to the level that they've lost that were more willing to part with their tickets – does the fact that Cam Ward's quarterback in this team, does that change that at all this year? How long into it does it change if things don't go well on the field?
Just depends. To me, like it depends on how not well are they going. A year ago, people were excited about Will Levis.
Yes.
It's kind of hard to remember that sometimes, but that was the case. And it's not like he lit the world on fire in his half season of playing in 2023, but he did enough. And there was enough. Of course, there was a lot of talk. Of course, a lot of glowing talk about him, but yeah, I mean, he's a talented guy. So people were excited, and it didn't take long at all for, okay, what's next? Different deal with pick one, right?
Yes.
Of course. Different deal. Pick one who's going to start playing right away as a rookie. But, you know, it's hard to quantify it, but you definitely want to see some kind of hope from him this year. Like, okay, if Cam Ward generally gives you what Will Levis gave you as a rookie. Is that good or bad?
I need a little more than that.
Need a little more. But not a lot more, right? Yeah. Like I don't think people would be giving up on him. Like, if he had that, like basically take that through a whole season, and he stays healthy, take Levis's numbers, project him through a whole season, the general performance, which is some big plays, here and there, a bad pick. But, like, boy, some of those throws, pretty good. Ran around, little fire, all that stuff. I think that people would not be jumping off the Cam bandwagon going into year two.
I don't think they'd be jumping off the bandwagon for sure, but I need
to. Of course
to
you
see,
want better.
Well, I mean, I need to see better than that. Like, you're the number one overall pick. I think sometimes around here we have exaggerated what Will Levis did in his first year. He was okay his first year. He had an unbelievable first game, and then really after that it was a whole lot of, he's all right after that. So for the number one overall pick, I need to see a little bit more than that this year. That's just me. Maybe people disagree with that, but that's fine. But that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, the Derrick Henry factor is Levis did have him on the field, which it's the primary focal point of all defenses. So you're not going to have that for Cam this year. Yeah, it's interesting. I agree. Like, in retrospect,
I mean, Will Levis' first year completed 58% of his passes. It's not like he was out there –
No, he wasn't.
Just making all kinds of plays all the time.
But what it is when you have a rookie, and if he makes three good throws in a game, then it's like, okay, see it?
Exactly.
And that's what's going to happen this year.
Yeah.
Well, I agree that you want better.
Yeah, and look, Cam Ward, I think Herndon nailed it earlier in the hour. He's going to have some bad turnovers this year. Like, there are going to be some throws that Cam Ward makes where you're like, oh, boy, that was awful. Hopefully, there's also enough of the, wow, did you see that throw he made on the run across his body right in stride to Calvin Ridley 25 yards down the field to counteract that as you get through it.
Yeah. But it's just like we say, you know, when's the next time? Next time Tennessee have a quarterback like Hooker, Titans have a quarterback like Tannehill. That one Levis throw in that first game.
I know, it's unreal.
Woo!
Yeah.
Still living on that one. Give him another Mayo commercial.
That's going to do it for us today. DVD is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.